Today, on The Journey.
Sometimes he will whisper and sometimes he will shout in your ear, be strong and courageous. I know your doubts. I know your fears. Don't be discouraged. I'm your God and I will go with you every step of the way. Do you have what it takes?
If we stop to listen, there are four brooding questions beating an uncertain cadence in our heart. They drum, and we step lightly into a world where a Sousa March is desperately needed. Today, Ron Moore is here to rechart those doubtful rhythms so that we can triumphantly march to a different drummer. Before that, I want you to know about Ron's uplifting devotional, Be Strong and Courageous. It reaffirms that God is in control and has great things for you to do. Be Strong and Courageous is available at ronmoore.org, and I'll have more about it later in the broadcast. Now, here's Ron with the message, Strong and Courageous, on The Journey.
It all started on October the 24th, arguably earlier than that. But 5 days later, October 29, 1929, the stock market had crashed, plunging the United States into what we call the Great Depression. By 1933, 25% of our workforce was unemployed. The same year, 1933, we swore in a new president. The historians say in his inaugural speech, it took on almost religious overtones as he was there to breathe hope and courage back into a hopeless and discouraged nation. Speaking to a time when fear had just saturated the land. Roosevelt said, "This great nation will endure as it has endured and will revive and prosper." So first of all, let me assure my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed effort to convert retreat into advance. A friend told Roosevelt, right as he was taking the office of presidency, "If you're a success, you'll be remembered as the greatest American president." To which Roosevelt replied, "But if I fail, I will be remembered as the last one." I believe that deep fears embed themselves in the heart of every leader. Being confident in a public persona, every leader deals with private doubts. And someone has well said, thinking about the weight of leadership and the vulnerability of leaders, men hang heavy weights on thin wires. As we continue through the book of Joshua, we find Joshua in a new position of leadership. He's not a young man. He's probably in his 60s. And in the first chapter, we find Joshua struggling with this new assignment. And I believe as we look at the text today, there are answers to four questions that Joshua is asking. I believe these are the questions that every leader asks, whether the leader of a country or a business or a school or an organization or a church or a family. Here are the questions. One, do I have what it takes? Two, what if I fail? What if I fall? Three, will others go with me? Because I can't do this alone. And the last one, and this is an important one, will the battles be worth it? Will the sacrifices be worth it? Take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 1. Quick historical context. Remember back in Genesis 12, God said to Abraham, "I want you to leave your family, your land, everything you've known. I want you to go to a land I will show you. I will bless you if you take this step of faith. Wherever you go, I'll bless you. Those who bless you, I'll bless. Those who curse you, I'll curse. And every nation of the world will be blessed because of you." Throughout the rest of Genesis, we see God raising up this people through Abraham, Isaac, through Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And he's getting them ready to enter into the promised land. He tests them through slavery. And now in the beginning of Exodus, ready to go. Let's take the land. God raises up a leader named Moses, a great leader, and Moses leads the children of Israel out of slavery, out of Egypt, and he parts the Red Sea, and then they get across the Red Sea, and that's about as far as they got. People were just not up for the trip. They became grumblers and constant complainers and lived in disobedience to God and his work as they died in the desert. By the time the book of Joshua opens, the grumbling generation is gone. Even Moses is gone. And now God places on Joshua's shoulders the heavy responsibility, a heavy assignment of leading Israel into the promised land. Think about it. This had started back in Genesis chapter 12. And now Joshua is the one to do it. And he can't quite shake some questions. Here's the first one. Do I have what it takes? Can I really get this job done? Joshua had been Moses' aide since youth, Numbers 11 says. The strong, capable Moses was all he knew as a leader, and he had watched Moses go before Pharaoh and have a showdown with the most powerful man on earth and win. He had watched him raise his staff over the Red Sea, and the Red Sea parted. He had seen all the miracles that Moses had done. In fact, if you turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 34, you'll see the resume of Moses. Look at verse 10. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. God knew him face to face. Who did all these miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and all the officials and to the whole land. Look at verse 12. For no one has ever shown the mighty power and performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. That was Joshua's successor. But now Moses is dead. And the responsibility falls on him. And Joshua has to wonder, man, I'm not Moses. Do I have what it takes? You ever ask yourself that question? Do I really have what it takes for this assignment that God is giving me? Do I have what it takes to be the father, a godly father? Do I have what it takes to be a godly mother? Do I have what it takes to be a single parent? Now that's an assignment. Do I have what it takes for this new year of study, for this new job that God has placed in front of me? Do I have what it takes for this assignment of this broken relationship or divorce or this loss of a loved one? Man, I just don't know if I have what it takes for this assignment. I got to tell you, I've asked myself that question many times. I came here in 1989 as an associate pastor, and 2.5 years later, the senior pastor was called to another church. Now, you have to understand that the senior pastor was a guy from Scotland. He was a lawyer before he had attended seminary, and he had the Scottish brogue. He could have stood up here and read the yellow pages, and people would cry and come to Christ. And that's the guy I followed. He left in 1992. I took his spot, and early on, as some of you know, some of you lived through, I demonstrated my gift of church growth. We grew the church from 500 to 300, just like that, overnight. People cried when they heard my accent, too, but for different reasons. And I stood up publicly and said, we can do this. Let's go do it. But in my heart, I wondered, am I kidding myself? Do I have what it takes? If you're a leader, you realize that your best day was always yesterday because today is a new day. There's always a new challenge. There's always something you have to do. And you begin to wonder, okay, I handled the last level. Can I do the next one? And I've asked myself, do I have what it takes through changes, through new ministries? And I know you've asked the same question. That's a question Josh was asking. He knew God called him to the position. He had no doubt of that. In fact, back in Deuteronomy chapter 34, Moses had laid his hands on Joshua and commissioned him. And it says the spirit of wisdom came upon Joshua. But now Moses is gone and he stands at the top alone and he wonders, can I do this? So God answers the question. Look at verse 5. Joshua, you got to know this. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. Joshua, you're not Moses. But I got to tell you, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Joshua, be strong and courageous, verse 6, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for I am the Lord your God, Joshua, and I will go with you wherever you go. And I don't know what God has called you to do, but I know this. God will always give you exactly what you need for the assignment he has put before you. Always. And sometimes he will whisper and sometimes he will shout in your ear, be strong and courageous. I know your doubts. Be strong and very courageous. I know your fears. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. I'm your God, and I will go with you every step of the way. Do you have what it takes? God will make sure you have all you need to do what he's called you to do. Be strong and courageous. Here's the second question Joshua asks. I think every leader worth his salt or her salt asks. What if I fall? What if I fail? Yeah, Roosevelt said, and if I fail, I will go down as the last American president. You see, what if I don't have the spiritual or moral strength? What if I blow it in an unguarded moment? I mean, it's bad enough to have a spiritual meltdown on your own, but when you're in leadership of a home or business or church, you understand a spiritual meltdown has ripple effects over a broad area. Now, for Joshua, this was not a hypothetical question. He had a front row seat when Moses had a spiritual meltdown. Turn back to Numbers chapter 20. Moses has been leading the people of Israel, and they have been grumbling, and they have been complaining, and they have been disobedient. And he's been leading them and leading them, and now they're in the desert, and they want water again. And they're complaining against Moses. And God says, okay, here's the deal. There's a rock over there. There's a stream that's going to come down from that rock. I want you to speak to the rock, and water will come out. Here's what Moses did, chapter 20, verse 9. So Moses took his staff from the Lord's presence, just as he had commanded him. He and Moses gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. What was Moses supposed to do? Speak to the rock. What did he do? In his anger, he hit the rock. Verse 12, but the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of all the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. You don't get to go to the promised land, Moses. You know when this happened, by the way? Most commentators date this at the 40th year of Israel's wanderings. You know how long they wandered in the desert? 40 years. Almost there. And he blew it. I got to admit, when I read that, I say, God, come on. I mean, for 40 years, that wears on a person. It's a little harsh, isn't it? I mean, he just lost it for one moment. God says, yeah, one unguarded moment. He didn't honor my word and didn't honor me. And when you're in the position of leadership, you can lose it because God takes sin seriously. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 34, it says that God took Moses up to Mount Nebo and he showed him all of the promised land. And then he says, Moses, you don't get to go there. Moses died on the mountain. No one knows where his burial place is, Scripture says. But it said Moses was 120 years old, and his eyes were just as strong, and his body was strong. He wasn't ready to die. But God says, I'm ready to take the people into the promised land, and you don't get to go. I heard someone say recently that Moses was fine with that. He had just accepted that, and he just learned to live with that. I say baloney to that. He was a leader. He knew God had given him an assignment to take the people into the promised land, and he didn't get to do it. You're telling me he was saying, oh, that's okay. See, every leader knows that he or she can blow it in one unguarded moment. A few years ago, I was driving home from work. It was like around Christmas. It was just one of those crisp, beautiful evenings, a little snow falling. And I went down my road. I was getting ready to turn in our driveway. And I've never heard God's audible voice, but for some reason, I just slowed down. And I looked inside the house. All our kids were home at that time. And I knew inside it was warm. And I knew inside they were interacting with each other. And I could almost feel the warmth of the home. And I could almost feel them in the house interacting. And it was as if God told me, everything you love most on this earth is in that house. And in one unguarded moment, you can lose the privilege of turning in that driveway. And I sat out there just thinking about that. Thinking of what it would be like to have to drive by knowing they were in there. Joshua had seen Moses lose it. And as a leader, he's thinking, man, what if I lose it too? Here's how God answers in verse 7. Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Here's the remedy for the fear of losing it. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. You want to end your life successful? Obey my word. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Joshua, you need to be talking about this all the time. Meditate on it day and night. Joshua, you need to be thinking about it all the time so that you may be careful to do what is written in it. Joshua, you got to obey it. And then you'll be prosperous and successful. We'll be the owners of spiritual qualities, and we can take that to our grave. And we'll have true success, a life of truly following after God, and we can take that to our grave. Every leader, I believe, lives with the fear that just like that, they could lose it. And I'm not so sure that's not a healthy fear. Here's the third question that Joshua asked. Will anyone go with me? One writer, John Maxwell, says that if you think you're leading and no one is following, you're really just out taking a walk. And a leader wrestles with that question, will anyone go with me? It's a new day. It's a new assignment. If I'm going to lead, I got to have people following. Anyone go? Now, Joshua had seen Moses and the guys with him, Aaron and Hur. In fact, in Exodus 17, when they're fighting the Amalekites, Joshua's down fighting. And remember the story, Aaron and Hur are with Moses up on the hillside. And as long as Moses keeps his staff up, Israel wins. When he drops his staff because his arms get tired, the Amalekites have the upper hand. So he saw Aaron and Hur put Moses down on a rock, and they held up his hands. And Joshua's thinking, Moses is dead. Aaron and Hur are gone. Who's going to hold up my hands? He goes to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he says, remember the commandment that Moses gave you. And here was the command. They're on the east side of the Jordan now. These tribes, that's where their land's going to be. They're already in their land. But they got to cross the Jordan to the west to get to the other land. And God had chosen this group to be the shock troops for the battles. And he goes to these people and he says, remember, as Moses commanded you, it's time to go. Get your stuff ready. You're the shock troops. I know you already have your land over here, but God wanted you to go over. Then you can come back and settle your land. Whew, he's got to see if they're going to follow. Here's what they do. Look at verse 16. Then they answer Joshua, whatever you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Check this out. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. You know what they're saying? We followed Moses as long as he was following God, and we're making the same deal with you. As long as you're following God, we will follow you. That's the only deal any group can make with a leader, isn't it? The day you quit following God is a day you don't deserve anyone to follow. One more. I think every leader asks this one. Will the battles be worth it? Will the sacrifices be worth it? Everyone knows if you're living the Christian life, you're involved in battles. Everyone knows if you're a leader, there are some challenges out there. See, Joshua knows that they're not going to enter the promised land the next day or the day after or the day after that. It's going to take years. He knows that he will be ordering men into battle. Some of them will die. Husbands, fathers, sons, brothers are going to die because of his leadership. He has to ask, is it worth it? God answers that question in verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Joshua, you ask me, is it worth it? Yeah, I'm leading them into their inheritance. Some men are going to die, Joshua. And yeah, you're going to lead them into battle. But it's worth it, because at the end of the day, they inherit the land I promised. That word inherit in the Old Testament is a physical word, a physical concept of taking the land. In the New Testament, it becomes a spiritual, a rich theological, spiritual concept. And we see it many places in Scripture. 1 Peter 1 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." That's our inheritance. As a spiritual leader, are the battles worth it? Yeah, because we're leading people, our families, others, to an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade, kept in heaven for them. Is it worth it? Absolutely. Every sacrifice, every battle.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. In a day of doubts and fears, of challenges and opportunities, you need the assistance of God's power and guidance. The children of Israel faced just such days as they entered the Promised Land. How they won the day with God's direction and strength is told in the book of Joshua. Now, in his encouraging devotional, Be Strong and Courageous, Ron Moore surveys that heroic story. In its pages, Ron shares thought-provoking insights that will equip you to spiritually imitate Israel's ultimate victories. Get your free copy of Be Strong and Courageous with a visit to ronmoore.org. Again, that web address, ronmoore.org, or call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
When I trust in Christ, saving faith, I am a child of God and will forever be. That's called saving faith. Now, there's also another part of faith. Once we have trusted in Christ, saving faith, there is a practical faith. And the practical faith is the faith we demonstrate as we walk with God, as we trust Him when we go through some challenging times, as we believe He is leading us to do a certain thing in our life, and we trust Him that He is doing that. Here's the question. What does this practical faith look like? How do we know we're truly walking in this practical faith? And how do we know when we are truly trusting in God, as opposed to testing Him, just doing our own thing, and once we get out there on the limb, saying, hey God, be sure to bless me as I do my own thing. Practical faith. What does that look like?
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And remember that a free copy of Ron Moore's inspiring devotional, Be Strong and Courageous, is waiting for you in print or as a digital download at ronmoore.org. Or call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Have you missed one of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind, the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.